Hello, I'm Jill Burridge, and I'm welcoming to the studio today for a return visit David Temple, who is musical director and conductor of the Hertfordshire Chorus. It's good to see you again, David.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Now, we've talked before about you and about Hertfordshire Chorus, so we won't go over the same ground again, but you've had a very busy year in 2019, and you have a busy year planned for 2020. So shall we start there, looking ahead to 2020?
Absolutely.
You have a concert coming up in St Albans Cathedral on February the 15th, which isn't so very far away, and you're doing The Messiah.
Yes, we'd better start rehearsing it, hadn't we?
I bet you have already.
No, we have.
How long do you rehearse for?
It all depends on the complexity of the work. For something like Messiah, where most of the singers have done it many times before, I think we've got about 6 rehearsals. But if it was something more complicated, we'd probably have 10.
It is something that's often performed at Christmas, but actually I think Handel wrote it for the Easter season, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. It was first performed in Dublin at Easter time. It can be performed any time of the year, really. Even though there is an aspect of it which is about Christmas and Easter, it's a more general story and it fits any time of year.
So why did you particularly want to do it in the cathedral now?
I've been with Hertfordshire Chorus for 20 years this year, and we've never done Messiah in St Albans Cathedral. So it'll be a first for us. And I simply can't wait. I think it's one of the most fantastic choral works ever. And it was the piece that first got me into singing when I was 18, when I discovered that I could sing. I joined the London Philharmonic Choir and couldn't read any music. But the guy let me in because I had a fairly decent voice and was obviously a bit musical. And the first rehearsal I went along to, they sang "His yoke is easy," which is a really complicated chorus. And suddenly I was in amongst 150 singers who all sang with such precision, the like of which I'd never heard in my life. And it really turned me on to classical music, and I've never looked back since.
At that stage, you didn't read music?
No, I was teaching myself as I went along.
So you literally had to listen and memorise.
Reading music is kind of following where the dots are and seeing where they are on the line. And being good at reading music is just a sophisticated version of that.
So this work holds a particular affection for you, does it?
Oh, it certainly does. In some ways, it's gone out of fashion a bit recently. Probably been taken over by the Monteverdi Vespers and things like Carl Jenkins, The Armed Man, and that sort of thing. But it will stand the test of time. And our performance on the 15th of February will be absolutely magical because we've already started rehearsing it and the singers sound like they're ready to perform it now.
So when you rehearse with them, what are you seeking to do? What are you aiming for to improve?
It's a real virtuoso piece. And if you've got a choir of, say, 110, which we have for this, to get all 110 singers to sing absolutely together so you can hear the words and hear the rhythms is quite an undertaking for the choir. The other thing is that I have a very low boredom threshold. So if I listen to a passage of singing and I think, this doesn't interest me, what do I need to do to make it interesting? So that's basically my whole rehearsal process.
Are you quite tough with them?
I am tough with them. Not in a sort of aggressive way, but singers come along because they know it's a good choir and they want to be stretched. If the conductor says to them, oh, you did really well, and they know it didn't go well, then they have no belief in themselves. So they want to be pushed to do their absolute best.
Now, it's the choruses that really show off the choir. So what are the choruses that stick in your mind and you have a particular affinity with, if you like?
The very first chorus, "And the Glory of the Lord," is just one of the most wonderful moments in music because we've had the overture, we've had the tenor singing "Comfort Ye" in every valley, and suddenly the choir stands up and there's a hush in the audience and the orchestra starts and the choir comes in for the first time. I remember the first time I sang the piece was in the Royal Albert Hall with the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and I'll never ever forget that moment where we came in with our very first entry, and that level of excitement has never left me ever since.
Thank you.
going back to Handel and the way he composed this, how do you see his intentions in compiling this work?
Because there were no recordings in the day of Handel, it was very easy for composers to recycle their music. So a lot of the great works that we know today, like the Bach Mass in B minor and Handel's Messiah, it's basically a kind of greatest hits, which is compiled from all their previous work. There is some original music in there, but essentially, if they used it and it worked well, put it into the next piece.
Does it stick to the sort of biblical liturgy, the biblical story?
There's not much story in Messiah. The words were compiled by Charles Jennens, and essentially the first part is about the birth of Jesus, the second part is about the crucifixion, and the third part is about the afterlife and revelations and all that sort of thing. But there's very little which is narrative. It's more commenting on events rather than describing them.
You mentioned the first chorus, and we heard a little bit there. What about others, where the choir is really in their element?
In the second part, which is a little bit more narrative, some of the choruses are quite violent. So there's a chorus which is, "He trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delight in him." It's the vicious crowd baying for Christ's blood. So it's very similar to the crucifixion choruses in Bach's Passions.
And there's presumably an element of acting that needs to come through in the singing there.
Absolutely. I mean, this oratorio, which is what Messiah is basically opera in plain clothes.
So we've talked about what's coming up for the Hertfordshire Chorus. Let's go back to last year. That was, again, a very busy year. And I think you performed Elijah in the cathedral.
Yeah, that was back in October. And again, the choir was so wonderfully dramatic. And the other day I was listening on Radio 3 to a performance of Elijah, which is supposed to be the best performance ever. And I got in touch with my friend Robin at Hertfordshire Chorus and said, "They should have come to hear ours, because it really was so much more dramatic, I feel."
What was the sort of highlight of that performance for you?
I think it's the way the choir gets so involved in the story that the audience are literally on the edge of their seats. Because some of these works are really long, you know, 2 hours long. And you've got to do something to keep their interest throughout. And the secret is to grab the essence of the drama and the pathos and the violence and the love and all those things all rolled into one.
You took the choir abroad as well last year, didn't you? Where did you go?
Yeah, that was great. We went to Wrocław, which is easier to spell than to say, in Poland. to sing Porgy and Bess with Wayne Marshall, who's a very famous conductor, for the Ratislavia Cantans Festival. Now, I've been there before, but this was the first time I've taken Hertfordshire Chorus there. It was a revelation. You know, we had a 90-piece orchestra. It was absolutely sold out. Great world-class soloists. And the choir, believe it or not, were the stars of the show.
Porgy and Bess, I mean, what a work to perform.
Yes, absolutely. And just the way the choir kind of got into the Black American sound and Gershwin's jazz. So it's a funny piece. It's a mixture of classical and jazz. And the choir just completely involved themselves in every minute of it.
And then coming back home, you went to Coventry. I think you performed in the cathedral there, that wonderful modern cathedral.
That's right. We were involved in a performance of War Horse in Coventry Cathedral as part of the celebrations of the 100 years after the First World War. And that was a wonderful event. And again, it was what was strange about that was that we had to sing like Devon peasants. And when we had the rehearsal with the orchestra, the choir suddenly got cold feet and started singing properly. And I said, "What are you doing? I've spent weeks trying to get you to sound like peasants and now you're singing properly." So they soon reverted to character and it was a great success.
It came good.
Yeah.
So what lies ahead for this year, apart from a concert that we've talked about, The Messiah, in February? Locally, I was thinking of, you're, I think, joining in the celebrations for Wellingardine City's centenary.
Yes, how exciting is that?
Yes.
We're going to be performing in St. Francis Church in Wellingardine City with a local primary school in the afternoon in July and in the evening with a local secondary school and a jazz trio. And my programme, which is not quite finalised yet, is to take music from each of the decades of the century, from 1920 to 2020.
What ideas have you got to date?
Well, there's lots of jazz in there, because I've got the jazz trio. And there's also myriad classical pieces, which the choir can do unaccompanied. But there's also a lot of pop songs and rock songs, and songs from the movies and songs from music theatre. So the world's our oyster.
So how do you manage involving the local schools?
One of the schools is Stanborough School, where we actually rehearse each week. And the music teacher, Elle, is now one of our sopranos. So that was quite an easy collaboration. And the other school is Applecroft School. I haven't met them yet, but we've been in touch with them and I'm going to meet up with them soon and we're going to sort out exactly what the children are going to do.
Do you find it difficult to find schools? Because, I mean, a lot of schools are having to cut their budgets in terms of including things like choir and music as a whole.
It's a little bit depressing. When music works well in schools, it's absolutely wonderful, really inspiring. But there's so many schools now that do hardly any music at all. So if we're going to do a collaboration, we do seek schools where music does have a priority because it means that we're joining in this with something which is already working.
It's something you consider to be really important, is it, that collaboration?
Yes, I do. I mean, it would be lovely to involve other schools, but you can't sort of change a decade of nothing going on in the space of 2 or 3 weeks. Hopefully it will inspire somebody somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And then later in the year, I think you're heading north to the Sage in Gateshead.
Yeah, we keep going back there because that's where I come from. I come from Newcastle. It's got one of the best concert halls in the country, and we've been up there about 5 or 6 times. And we're doing the piece Codebreaker. I think we talked about it when I was in here last time, which was about the life of Alan Turing. Also doing Vaughan Williams' A Sea Symphony, which is a work which is very close to my heart.
So when will that be?
That's in May.
You said that the Sage is one of the best concert halls in the country. So what makes it the best?
Well, it's very interesting. London doesn't have a decent concert hall. Hertfordshire has a fantastic concert hall, which is the Watford Coliseum.
Really?
Yeah, it's a brilliant concert hall. But we have found that when we've been there in the past, it's been a challenge to get an audience. But I do hope that in the future it is part of our plans, because the acoustics in there are really brilliant.
And what about the Abbey? How does that rate?
The Abbey is just, you know, when I walk into St. Albans Cathedral, my jaw just hits the floor. I never, ever cease to be moved and impressed and inspired to be in that building. We were in there just before Christmas doing a concert for the Willow Foundation, which is Bob and Meg Wilson's charity. And just the sound of the choir, we had the Bishop's Hatfield School in there as well. It was just awesome. It never fails to move me when I go there.
Yes, it's part of the look of the building is superb, isn't it?
We think of old music as being Thomas Tallis or William Byrd or even Bach and Handel. This building was there 500 years before them. So to think of that music still in some way resounding around those walls is mind-blowing.
It's quite awe-inspiring. Well, that brings us neatly back to your Messiah performance in St. Albans Cathedral. February the 15th is the date, and tickets can be booked online or via the Abbey. Round us off with maybe another chorus that you think is a virtuoso for the chorus.
I just have goosebumps thinking about this chorus. It's the final chorus in the work. It's the Amen chorus with just one word, Amen. And the way the voices just lay on top of each other and build to this incredible climax with the sopranos going to gorgeous top A and just the sound of the whole thing finishing on that beautiful chord and then having the privilege of just cutting it off and the silence and then the audience just erupting. My goodness, it doesn't get any better.
David Temple, what a superb way to finish. It's been lovely to talk to you again. I hope 2020 goes really well for you and for Hertfordshire Chorus.
Thank you, Jill.